Everyone would grab their seats and we'll get started. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Board of Directors meeting of WMATA.
If he's not here, it's Harley.
Harley, okay. First item on the agenda is to an approval of the agenda. Is there a motion to approve the agenda? Is there a second? Motion's been made and seconded. All in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. The next item on the agenda is the certification of the executive sessions, and I'd like to call on Ms. Harley for that.
Yes. I would like to remind the board members that there's a list of the members that were at each meeting in front of them, and you cannot vote on the meetings you did not attend. So I move that the board certify to the best of each member's knowledge and with no individual member dissenting that at the board executive session of August 25th, 2016, only such matters as are authorized for discussion in executive session under board bylaws, Article 10, and only those matters identified in the notice by which the executive session was convened were heard, discussed, or considered by the board. Do you have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
And this is for September 8th, 2016. I move that the board certify to the best of each member's knowledge and with no individual member dissenting that at the board executive session of September 8th, 2016, only such matters as are authorized for discussion in executive session under board bylaws, Article 10, and only those matters identified in the notice by which the executive session was convened were heard, discussed, or considered by the board. Do I have a motion? Second? All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next item on the agenda is the approval of the minutes for meetings on July 28, 2016, August 25, 2016, special board meeting, August 25, 2016, executive session, and September 8, 2016, executive session. Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
Is there a second? Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Next item on the agenda is the salute to service. So on behalf of the board, we'd like to take this opportunity to honor two very special Metro employees through the salute to service portion of our board meeting. We were originally scheduled to honor four employees, but unfortunately two are not able to join us today. Today the board and Metro leadership are recognizing Mr. Raymond Kroc and Ms. Pamela Christian. Before we get to the formal presentations, I'd like to say a few words about each employee. Mr. Kroc, please stand. Where's Mr. Kroc? Aha, Mr. Kroc, welcome. Mr. Kroc has been with Metro for 40 years, unbelievable, since the beginning, huh? He was hired in 1976 as a drafting aide, serving in that role for 13 years until being promoted to an engineering assistant in 1989. Today, Mr. Kroc is a support services assistant. His role is to help Metro successfully manage the organization and distribution of Metro's construction drawings, plans, and specifications. He also serves as a liaison between Metro and contractors seeking contracts on various construction projects. Mr. Kroc, thank you for your dedication and commitment to Metro. The board is grateful for your four decades of outstanding, exemplary, and steadfast service to our customers and to your fellow employees. Your dedication to Metro and the region is commendable. I would now ask you to join me along with the general manager for a presentation of your certificate and photograph. Okay, next. See, we politicians love that. You know, you get up, you get another flags, a presentation. That's what we do best. Okay, next, I'd like to say a few words about Ms. Christian, who I would now ask to stand. Where's Ms. Christian? Yes, welcome, Ms. Christian. Ms. Christian was hired in 1971 as a clerk typist in the Office of the General Counsel and was promoted to a claims assistant in 1976. Today, she is claims technician for third-party claims in Metro's Treasury Department in the Office of the Chief Financial Officer. Ms. Christian's role includes managing general and technical claims, ensuring all procedures are followed and that data is maintained accurately. She also handles administrative legal claims work and administers a records management program for closed claims files. Ms. Christian, thank you for your dedication and commitment to Metro. Metro Board is appreciative of your 45 years of exceptional dedicated service to our customers and to your fellow employees. I would now ask that you join me along with the general manager for your certificate and a photograph. Okay, the next item on the agenda is our public comment portion, and today we only have one person, so I'd like to welcome someone whose handwriting I can't possibly read. What is this? Anybody read that? Bill. Bill, okay. Welcome, Bill. Bill, tell us your name because I can't read your handwriting.
Good morning. My name is Bill Williams. I had intended to ask a question, but I now have two questions to ask. Mr. Orr presented earlier on the bylaws to the Governance Committee. It turns out in the colloquy among the board members that what was presented on paper today to the committee and to the public is a second edition, a second version, that there was earlier a normative version that has been revised. I attempted to ask Mr. Orr a question, and his response was, he is not authorized to speak to me or presumably any member of the public, the writing public. My question to the board, and I don't necessarily expect an answer today, is that you should reflect on why Mr. Orr is authorized to report and speak to you as members of the board and not answer an innocent question from an innocent member of the writing public. It was my expectation today that the board was going to approve staff to proceed with the issuing of an RFP. It's scheduled to be released at the end of this month for what has been characterized as a Maryland Abilities Ride. I did not remember it as such, but the discussion 2 weeks ago was only for information purposes. In talking to the chair of that committee this morning, she expects that it will return to the committee in October, but that will be, as it turns out, probably after the RFP would already have been issued. My question to the board, and I would like an answer today actually, is the Abilities Ride proposal being issued as an RFP is predicated on past pilot projects, which analysis of which is not available to the public. Whatever the cost associated with that proposal, Abilities Ride, it would seem to me that there should be a further discussion and a release of whatever documentation analysis of pilot projects past has been done with regard to the success, alleged success of those programs. So here's a question. Is it appropriate that staff proceed with issuing an RFP for Maryland Abilities Ride without board authorization to do so, and if it's doing so on the basis of past success of other programs, other alternate programs, should that not analysis of those programs be made available to the public as well? Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I'll defer that question to Mr. Wiedefeld and maybe to our general counsel, whoever wants to answer.
I'm not aware of any I'm not aware that historically we take a request for an RFP to the board. I'm just not, I mean, it's normal business that we do that.
Okay. All right. Very good. All right. Our next item on, thank you very much. Our next item on the agenda is the report by the Accessibility Advisory Committee. Mr. Sheehan.
Yeah.
Yes, Mr. Sheehan, welcome to the board meeting.
Oh, just a mic. Okay. Yeah. Like old home week here. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Good to be back in this room. I have a few things I want to chat about. I think I'd like to first start by thanking Mr. Wiedefeld, GM, for attending our last meeting. He was there for about an hour. I think he was scheduled for a half hour, but we grilled him and asked him lots of questions. I appreciate his support and the support of what we do and interest in giving us access to of ADA programs for all the staff support we have. So thank you for that. With respect to FAIR policy, and I know that subject's coming up. I know the RAC has worked on that, and AAC has recommendations. For the time being, we are very interested in the status quo. We think that as far as, particularly with Metro Access, raising the bus fares on the fixed route system is going to severely impact Metro Access customers. So although we'll have input into whatever strategies are going forward, currently I think the AAC's proposal would be to work with the status quo, and if we keep the status quo, that would be great. Another area within the fixed route system that the AAC is very concerned about is the cutting back the particularly the rail system to an earlier hour. We'd very much like to see the fixed route system stay as it is right now. We're concerned about the impact that cutting the fixed route system would have on the Metro Access system. We don't want to see that cut back. We are concerned about the fair policies with respect to Metro Access. In the past, we have indicated that we wanted the calculations to be based on twice the bus system. However, in effect that the rail system is shut down, we would like to make sure that the fare calculator reflects that, for particularly like on the Orange Line, that you're calculating Metro Access fares based on the bus fare as opposed to a subway that is either taking longer or perhaps some of that system might be shut down. Those are the issues with respect to Metro Access, I think, that we're interested in. With respect to the safety exercises, we have an interest in making sure that the first responders are talking to the jurisdictional coordinators that that are within DC, Virginia, and Maryland, who have expertise in working with people with disabilities. Currently, they have access to WMATA staff. We want them to have more access to the first responders so that you have a uniform training program and can work with the experts in the field, particularly when it deals with persons with disabilities. With respect to the Wi-Fi, we understand, and generally we're in favor of the Wi-Fi program, pilot program that has been implemented. We would very much like to see continuous communication through the tunnels. That would be AAC's position. That's definitely my position. Another thing that I think was rushed is that the Wi-Fi pilot project was rushed out. The apps, as they are on the mobile devices, are not 508 compliant. In other words, people with disabilities can't use them effectively. So I think that in a briefing that we had, they were told that they just couldn't get to check the accessibility, weren't sure that it was 508 compliant. I don't think that we should be putting anything out into the general public that doesn't meet accessibility requirements. They're not new. They've been around for 15 years. So I don't see there's an excuse for that. A couple of good things that I see coming up, the Metro Data Day. I'm very excited about that. I think you'll get a lot of good feedback. The AAC would very much like to participate in that. And we'd also like to be able to look at the ideas that come out of that and help to prioritize them. One of the areas that I have stressed over the years is real-time communication, particularly when you're talking about metro access. If we have this abilities ride RFP coming out, and you're using any of these companies like Uber or Lyft, they give you the ability to use, to tell you when your ride's going to be there. They'll tell you when your ETA is going to be. There's no reason why we can't have something like that within the metro access system. I think that would be very useful, but we'll save that for that discussion. I applaud Metro for doing that. I think that's a great idea. I think the input that you'll get, you've got a lot of smart people in the community, and I think they're going to make a big difference. So my report has some suggestions. I'm applauding Metro in a couple of areas. I think that's great. Thank you very much for your support. I'm here to answer any questions.
Thank you very much, Mr. Sheehan. Any questions from any members of the board? Okay, seeing none. Thank you very much for your report today.
Very good. Thank you.
And I believe I'm scheduled to come and speak with your organization this month, I think, or next month, something
yes.
like that. Yes.
October?
Yeah, I think it's October, good. So I'm looking forward
great.
To that.
We're an enthusiastic bunch.
Yep.
I think you'll have a good time.
I will. If you have
good.
Cookies, yeah, bring him cookies. And I'd like to encourage all my fellow board members to do the same. Find a time when you can go to both this organization, the Riders Advisory Council. It's very much appreciated by a lot of the people who attend these meetings. Our next report is by the Riders Advisory Council, Mr. Goford.
Good morning. Thank you so much. It's a real pleasure to speak with you all today. Just by way of introductions, my name is Sita Gofard. I'm a member of the Riders Advisory Council, representing riders who live in the District of Columbia, but right now speaking sort of as a delegate of the Riders Advisory Council. I'm a daily Metro commuter myself, of course, and it's before I go on, I just want to say it's been a real genuine honor and privilege to be able to work on the RAC and work together with you and with the amazing staff at WMATA to come up with feasible, smart ideas for solutions that really benefit our entire community of riders. So I just want to emphasize that, sort of say thanks for the opportunity, thanks for investing and believing in the Riders Advisory Council and taking your ideas to heart. It means a lot to us. Barbara Hermanson, our RAC chair, is on a well-deserved holiday right now. She regrets that she couldn't make this meeting, but says hi. So it's been a busy summer on the RAC, and specifically I'd like to talk about three areas of committee work we've been focusing our efforts over the past 2 months, and of course, take any questions you have. So the first involves budgeting for the next fiscal year, and if I'm not mistaken, a letter that we've submitted to WMATA may have already been tomorrow, well, will be forwarded to the board tomorrow, so you'll be seeing that. But our budget committee in the Riders Advisory Council has been really hard at work in reviewing the current fares and fare structures across many U.S. transit systems. I think back in July it was, WMATA came to us asking for us to think about ideas for fares, for the budget, that riders would benefit from or would really appreciate. And so we've been thinking about that and, of course, looking at the broad spectrum of systems across the U.S. And perhaps unsurprisingly, we actually did find that Washington's system, the fare structures are generally the most complex in the U.S. And one problem right now that I think people have pointed out before is that, you know, thinking about ways to either simplify it or just make the process easier for riders in general. So we've been assembling that list, and that list will be forwarded to you tomorrow. But to give you just a little bit of a glimpse, a preview into that, it discusses many different ideas that we had. And of course, I'm stressing ideas here, not necessarily recommendations or endorsements. We didn't feel sort of comfortable, ready to, you know, really to propose anything in particular, given the fact that, you know, we're not experts. We don't necessarily have all the data we need to make those judgments. But these are ideas that gained a lot of traction in the Riders Advisory Council, and we thought would be supported among the larger community of riders. So thinking about, for example, fare structures, whether, you know, flat fare in the long term might be the best way to go, for example, or whether distance-based pricing might still be the most viable option. Thinking about peak fare pricing, right, and how that impacts various constituencies of riders. Thinking about things like transfer windows, you know, bus transfer windows, rail to bus to rail transfer windows. Even ideas like a parking grace period connected to the Metro Rail's grace period. You know, all of these ideas, we forwarded along to you, and we'd love your thoughts on them, your inputs, And most importantly, examination by WMATA staff about which of these ideas might be most feasible and might benefit riders in the long run. So thank you so much for considering that. And in the process, we've met with community groups, we met with an advocacy group, and just want to stress that, you know, that we really saw two components of this. One, of course, is the business component, making sure that we invest in a long-run system that's fiscally sustainable and making sure that, you know, we're able to balance our operating revenues, our revenues and our operating expenses. But secondly, and equally importantly, thinking about the system as a social good, as a public good, upon which hundreds of thousands of riders rely on. And many of the community groups that we met with really stressed the fact that, you know, public transit is something they would like to see more affordable for many people, many working families. And so these are kind of two considerations that we really try to balance in this letter. The second topic that I'd like to talk about is safety. The Riders Advisory Council just launched a new safety committee to focus on issues of safety and security throughout the system. What we've been doing over the past month is thinking about a work plan for 2016 and for the remainder of 2016 and 2017, and identifying both areas where riders can be more educated about safety issues, as well as other safety risks or safety gaps that we see in the system that we think could be fixed without, you know, excessive cost. We also had the largest Riders Advisory Council contingency to date at the August 28th emergency drill over the Potomac, which was a lot of fun personally, and we really look forward to participating in more and trying to get riders out there and engaged in the process. Finally, sort of just a few words on rider outreach. Our Programs, Projects, and Planning Committee, or PPP, has been refining a plan to shortly launch a RAC Facebook page to, which, of course, we've been in consultation with you guys, with Lynn Bauer Sox throughout the past few months about this. And our hope is to launch this soon, to be able to better get feedback from riders, be able to better glean ideas from them. And we will keep you posted on that. We are also coordinating with the AAC to gather rider feedback on the new 7000 series cars, which just anecdotally riders seem to be very happy about. And we're also soliciting feedback on the new WMATA beta site, which looks really good. So before I take your questions, just I'd like to thank Mr. Wiedefeld for returning to our Riders Advisory Council at our monthly meeting a couple weeks ago. We really appreciate it. You taking your time out of your schedule to answer our questions, to speak with us. And then most importantly, we love, you know, echoing what Mr. Evans said, we love it for all board members to, you know, drop in you know, at our meetings. It improves the ability of for us to do our work when we're able to coordinate with the board. And it also is a nice opportunity for us to really come together as one. So I'd love to take any comments or questions now, if there are any.
Okay, thank you very much for your report. Any questions, comments from the board members? Okay. Yes, Tom.
Thanks for the report. Would it be possible for you all to email us when your meetings are?
Oh, absolutely.
And,
pleasure.
And, okay. Yeah. And so we know where we, yep, what time and where place, and if we can attend, we will try.
Absolutely. And the meetings thank are you. Always in this room, so.
Okay, thank you. Anything further? Okay, thank you very much for
thank
your
you.
Report. Okay, next item on the agenda is a report by the chair. So I want to begin by welcoming everybody and thanking all of our riders for their continued patience and resilience during the safe track surges that began several months ago. And a lot of track work has been accomplished during safe track, but as we know, we have a lot of work ahead of us that needs to be done. I think it's important to remind ourselves that SafeTrack is bringing Metro Rail tracks and structures back into a state of good repair by eliminating safety hazards, increasing service reliability, improving ride quality, a critical work that has been neglected for a long period of time. But I do want to add my own comments to these comments. And I think it's just important that everybody, and I repeat this, as does Paul, everywhere we go, when we are done with SafeTrack in April, we are not going to be done. We are not going to even be close to being done. SafeTrack is an attempt to find the 15 worst areas of our system and try and bring them up to speed. the rest of the system is still in a state of disrepair, and we're working on that at the same time. So come April, I'm exaggerating, but I'm just saying we will have a system that is still in serious need of repair. So I don't want the public or anyone thinking that April, oh, we're done, the place is fixed, let's move ahead. Actually, in April, the place will still be in serious need of repair, but not in as bad a need of repair as it is today. So please, please, because everywhere I go, people have this expectation that come April, everything's done. Come April, everything is not done, it isn't even close to being done. And so that's just a message that hopefully we can continue to get out there. And Paul, you can probably elaborate on that more than I. Next, I want to touch on the governance presentation this morning. One of the board's responsibilities is to assess and evaluate itself to ensure it is operating as efficiently and effectively as possible. The review of the board's governance structure by Jones Day will help the board ensure it is meeting that responsibility. And I'd like to thank the our chair board member, Corbett Price, for his leadership in shepherding this work through the governance committee. And Mr. Price, we look forward to you and your committee moving forward with this and telling us how we should proceed. So thank you for all your hard work on that. And finally, all of you will notice there's a new item on the agenda. It's called committee reports. I've asked each committee chair to present a short monthly report that highlights the work their respective committees are doing, communicates further future agenda items. What I believe is this is important for the public to, first of all, put names and faces together with board members. Who are they? What committees do they chair? What do these committees actually do? And it provides really another level of transparency for our customers and the public and everybody else. So I really appreciate all of you taking that opportunity, taking a couple minutes, explain what you do, and really trying to connect with the public about what we do here as a board. And that's all my comments, so I'd like to go to the next item and turn it over to Mr. Ruderfeld.
Okay. Thank you, and good afternoon. I will be brief. I do want to give you an update on my three major goals, which are safety, social liability, and fiscal management. First, if I could just follow up on a comment the chairman just said concerning April. I think just what we heard earlier today at the safety committee briefing in terms of the power issues that we have in front of us, again, that's a whole another series of issues that we have to deal with and we'll continue to deal with. One other comment on the safety presentation. I did want to bring attention last evening. In fact, we put online a link that basically has all 1,063 action items that you can go to OneSource now, whether it's FTA, NTSB, or the old TOC, actionable items is all in one location now. So if anyone wants to look at the progress on that, it is on our website now. On the safe track, I will give a quick update on that. Surge 9 is our longest surge. It's underway in the Orange Line and continues through October 26. It is continuous single tracking on weekdays from Vienna to West Falls, and starting this weekend, for the next 4 weeks, there'll be actually shutdowns to complete the interlocking work out in that area. Earlier last week, we did put out the revised safe track schedule, and it has exact dates through the end of the year, and later in this year, we'll be coming out with the dates for 17 as well. Online also, for those that are interested, our progress reports after every surge that we do, so you can find out what we've done, and in these large ones, we'll be putting them out sort of midstream as well. Let me just give you one example of how far we have come. In the first three surges, we replaced over 17,000 ties. That would normally take us a year to do. We do about, historically, recently, we've done about 15,000 ties a year, and that's with weekend closures and early outs to do that. If we were to do that same type of work, just using the non-revenue hours that we have, that would take us 9 years to do. So just to give you a sense of scale. And we have 240,000 ties, and I'm just talking the wooden ties, not even the concrete. So that's, you know, the scale of some of the issues we're dealing with, as the chairman talked about, that this is not something that in April we all say, okay, we're done, and we're back to 1976. In addition, we've made significant improvements, obviously besides ties, on insulators, power cables, and lots of other things that are out there. In terms of service reliability, I did want to give an update on the 7000 series. We are now accepting 16 new rail cars a month. That's equivalent to 2 new 8-car trains per month. So Kawasaki has been stepping up to the plate and delivering that. We've had we started out with 8 cars per month starting in May. We're up to 16. And tomorrow we'll have our 200th car delivered. So in effect, we're at 25% of the way there, the 748, so that is all very good signs moving forward. In terms of the financial condition of the house, just wanted to make sure that everyone did see. We're pleased that we've worked with Outfront Media to change some of the media presentations in our stations with the new dynamic platform advertisements that we're doing. We've installed them at 14 stations in D.C., Virginia, Maryland, and we have some great vendors using that space: Amazon, Argentina Tourism, CBS Thursday Night Football, George Mason, MetLife, Samsung, Wall Street, just to name a few, and we'll continue to do that. We make about $20 million a year on advertising, so it's a big deal, and anything we can do to keep up with technology is important, because these screens basically generate up to four times the revenue that a static screen, or static advertisement generates. We'll be doing another 22 more of these before the end of the year. So again, given our financial condition, we want to make sure we're looking under every basket we can. Let me just, if I could just conclude, we're at the start of a very intense fall for both us and then for the board, particularly on the financial side. We'll be wrapping up our fiscal year 16 audit in the near term. Shortly after that, I'll be bringing the draft operating budget for consideration, and then after that, the draft capital budget. So this is a heavy lift for all of us, but I'm looking forward to the discussion and obviously the policy direction that you'll give me. So with that, thank you for your attention. Please conclude.
Thank you. Thank you. Paul, is there any questions for the general manager? Comments? Anything? Yes. Kathy?
Thank you for your report on the 4,000 series, 7,000 series cars. Do we have any other status on those cars on the Silver Line track issue, or has that been corrected?
Not yet. I'll have to get back to you on that.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Anything further? Tom?
Paul, is the TGV working on the crossovers as we discussed?
Yes.
Okay. Are they finding any discrepancies when they go across the X's?
They did, and that's one of the reasons why we're doing the weekend closures now, because we're doing those crossovers now.
Okay, thank you.
Further? Okay, we'll move along. Thank you, Paul. Our next item on the agenda is a report by the Capital Program Planning and Real Estate Committee. Mr. Strickland.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We have
your mic on?
Lisa, I guess I should eat the mic.
Yeah, eat the mic.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate it. We have two items for the committee for consideration today. First is the approval of the Congress Heights sale price. The staff seeks approval for the sale price for a parcel at the Congress Heights Metro Station southern entrance. This action is the next step in a process that began in May 2011. When the board authorized Metro to negotiate to sell the property, followed by the December 2012 approval to enter into a purchase and sale agreement. This approval will set the sale price based upon the agreed upon proposals. Mr. Chairman, turn it over for any discussion, and then we will need a motion for approval.
Okay. Any discussion? Seeing none, is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Ayes have it.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Our last item is the approval for a public hearing for the new Carrollton Joint Development. The staff seeks authorization for a WMATA compact public hearing for, one, the replacement and expansion of the Southside Bus Loop and Kiss and Ride, and two, the removal and potential replacement of some of the Southside surface parking spaces at the new Carrollton Metro Rail Station to make way for a transit-oriented development project. Once again, Mr. Chairman, I'll turn over for discussion and then need a motion for approval.
Okay, any discussion? Seeing none.
So moved.
Is there a motion to move? So moved. Second?
Second.
Any discussion? Seeing none. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you, Mr. Strickland.
Thank
Anything
you, Mr.
further?
No, sir. I'm all done.
Okay, next item on the agenda is a report by the Customer Service Operations and Security Committee. Ms. Hudgens.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, the Customer Service and Operations and Security Committee have one item of action, and I'd like to move approval of the recommendation to hold a public hearing to change the current Metro Rail span of service and potential changes to Metro Bus late night service. Mr. Bolter, the committee voted approval of it, and one abstention by Mr. Bolter.
Okay, motion's been made to approve this. Is there a motion? Is there a second?
Second.
All right, any discussion? Yes, Mr. Goldman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to make one comment. We had a pretty vigorous discussion 2 weeks ago on the general manager's need for the additional hours, and we had a pretty good discussion of the various alternatives. But one thing we didn't talk a lot about is mediation measures and how we're going to get these people home. And I made a suggestion last time that we try to look at other providers like Lyft and Uber. And what I noticed from the mitigation scenarios presented by the staff is that they only deal with Metrobus, and they deal with late night Metrobus ranging from sort of no additional cost to, I think it was up to $15 million. And the reason I want to encourage staff to take a look at some conversations with Uber and Lyft and present them to the public hearing process for consideration is that when you look at where people are going, you see that the top five destinations are places like Shady Grove, Silver Spring, Vienna, and places pretty far out on our system. And it's hard to believe that running a bus out there to carry 3,000 people total, you have a total of 3,000 people an hour, really, at these late night hours, and using a bus to carry people to, you know, Shady Grove and go out and follow the route of the Red Line out Wisconsin Avenue, Rockville Pike to Shady Grove is either most cost-efficient or a very comfortable way for our riders to meet their needs. So I would encourage staff to explore some discussions with Uber and Lyft about pooling services and what that would entail in terms of cost for both the riders and whether there would be any need for WMATA to subsidize service, because I think carrying four or five people at Shady Grove, you know, going out the Clare Barton Parkway and up on 270 is going to be a more efficient and a more comfortable way for people to get home in place of the Red Line service than having a 50-passenger bus take that route. So that's okay. That's all I want to say.
Okay, thank you. Any further comments? Okay, seeing, oh, do you have a comment?
Quick one.
Christian.
Just Mr. General Manager, as part of the public hearing, I would just encourage you to direct staff to do a little bit more to show kind of your work in the options that you considered but maybe did not include in the panoply of ones that we presented to the public. I think there's going to be a great appetite to see that we've considered all manner of mitigation techniques beyond what's being presented, just so that we can show our due diligence in making sure that we've explored all possible impacts. I think that'll be an important component that the public should require.
Okay, anything further? Okay, seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Anything else, Ms. Hutchins?
That's it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, now we'll go to committee reports. So we'll start with Ms. Harley. Ms. Harley is the chairman of the Administration Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Administration Committee schedule for the upcoming year, we intend to adopt a work plan which enables us to not only evaluate the ongoing adequacy of certain programs, i.e. Metro's current technology and its future needs, its personnel, program and its future efficiencies, procurement practices, and things related to contracting, but it will also actively engage in recommending and adopting new goals and policies that will streamline the administrative practices of Metro. So we look forward to a good year and hopefully some more efficient practices. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any questions for Ms. Harley? Okay, thank you. Mr. Cochran is the chairman of our Audits and Investigations Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As everybody knows, the Audit and Investigations Committee is responsible for the financial audits. And the financial audit is looking to be done on time in October this year with quite a bit of movement moving toward that anticipated date for delivery, and very comfortable that we will do so. In addition to the financial reports, the Audits and Investigations Committee is also responsible for investigations by the IG's office. And those would be whistleblower reports and procurement analysis and so forth. And that is of public record what the work plan is for the IG's office over the course of this year. And we will do the same again for 2017. And there are quarterly reports put out for that and semi-annual public reports put out for that if anyone is interested. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much. Any questions for Mr. Cochran? Okay, our next, Mr. Strickland is the chairman of our Capital Program Planning and Real Estate Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Our vice chairman, Mr. Costa, and the rest of the committee members have been working very hard to complete the final work plan for the following year. Our emphasis will be in overseeing the capital needs inventory process and to understand the work items that will be developed for the capital improvement plan for the fiscal year 18 budget planning and beyond. We'll also be focusing on how we're measuring the performance of the WMATA capital program execution. It's something that, frankly, that I know the number of members have had lots of questions about, and the staff has been very diligent in responding back to us, and Mr. Kosick's experience has been very helpful in figuring out how we can find the right metrics. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Any questions for Mr. Strickland? Okay. Ms. Hudgens is the chairman of our Customer Service Operations and Security Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, this committee addresses all of the service and operations that has to do with the transit system, but one of the parts is safety and preparation, and that is preparation for the coming inauguration. You will see those on the committee items for action and began work there. We continue with the vital signs report that is managed under the Customer Service and Operation Committee. And the other part is SafeTrack, that is monitoring the status of SafeTrack as it goes through the system. And we will be bringing youth activities and the impact of the service to our with our public safety with youth and how we can better have better relationships in terms of providing our service and working with that community. And that's about.
Okay, thank you. Any questions for Ms. Hudgens? Okay, see none. The next committee is the Executive Committee, which I as Chairman of the Board chair, and it's made up of myself, Mr. Cochran, Ms. Hartley, and Mr. Strickland, and we meet with and advise the General Manager on issues concerning the authority and are in charge of ethics for the, if there's any ethics complaints, et cetera, involving the organization, this committee is responsible for those as well. Next committee is Mr. Goldman, who is the chair of the Finance Committee.
Well, the Finance Committee is in charge of making recommendations on the annual operating and capital budgets. It's a committee of the whole where all members, voting and alternates, participate in October next month. We'll have a fiscal year 18 operating budget prep session with the CFO, and we will also consider a small technical amendment to the capital program and the FY17, the operating budget of the year in effect now, to take into account a DHA security grant that the authority has received. In November, we will then receive the general manager's proposed fiscal year 18 operating budget, and we will also have a review of the first quarter of the current fiscal year, FY17, that's July through September, and we will probably have to consider an amendment to the operating budget to take into account the SafeTrax program and rail car deliveries. And finally, our pension subcommittee, headed by Mr. Bulger, will also meet next month in October and will review the actuarial reports and evaluate various pension funding strategies for the various employee pension plans that the authority funds. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any questions for Mr. Goldman? Okay, Mr. Price is the chairman of our governance committee.
The governance committee is charged with overseeing how the company works as it relates to its policies, procedures, and how the board functions and its committee structure. Currently, we just received a report back from Jones Day, who we've employed to look at our various policies, looking at our bylaws, our ethics policies, as well as our orientation for new board members. Our focal point is to get these modifications approved within the next couple of months. As such, we've asked our general counsel to work with the various jurisdictions, attorney generals, to make sure that they're on board with any potential changes that we might make going forward. In addition to that, we are also charged with ensuring and selection and for the board to vote on the chairman and various officers for the upcoming year. In addition to that, we're charged with the participating in the evaluation of the IG and her performance, also the corporate secretary. I don't think I've left anyone out, as well as the general manager going forward. So those are basically, we're more of a, just a kind of operating type of committee to ensure that we have good governance and to review it on an ongoing basis and make adjustments as we need to make those adjustments so that we can have our practices in line with what we've codified in writing.
Okay, thank you. Any questions for Mr. Price? Okay, and finally, Ms. Carmody chairs our safety committee.
Good morning. Safety committee is charged with oversight of the WMATA safety efforts and programs. There's a vast number of recommendations outstanding, both from FTA and the NTSB, which WMATA has addressed and and we are monitoring that progress. Some stretch into a number of years, but we will have monthly reports on the status of that. Also, along with the Customer Service Committee, we do monitor the progress and efforts of SafeTrack, and we'll continue to do that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you all. Any questions for Ms. Carmody? Okay, thank you all for your reports. Last item on the agenda is a report by the jurisdictions, starting with the District of Columbia. This will be a very busy weekend in the District of Columbia. It is the opening of the African American Museum. We're expecting a crowds that could border on what we had for the first inauguration of President Obama. Metro will play a part in that. Paul, I hope we're ready for whatever we can do to help out. So it's going to be an exciting weekend. Secondly, with the closure of Beach Drive, Mr. Dormstro, where are you? Oh, there you go. He closed Beach Drive, so from so from here on out for, what is it, the next 3 years, I guess, right? There's going to be increased congestion traffic trying to get into the district. So again, Metro is going to play a role, whatever role we can play to try and alleviate some of the congestion that we're having. So, these are the issues we deal with, and we're looking forward to trying to make it all work for everybody who's involved. Federal government, yeah. Tony's. Oh, Tony, you're the one.
So I'll turn to Tony.
Okay, from WSTC, Ms. Hartley. No report. Okay, Mr. Cochran from NVTC.
Nothing to report.
Okay, and the federal government, Mr. Strickland.
Nothing to report.
Okay, very good. Is there any other items to become before the board? Seeing none, we will meet upstairs at 12 o'clock or even now. Let's just go up. We can start, get lunch, and we will start our meeting upstairs. So thank you very much. Meeting's adjourned.